you this unless you study the wrong chapter. Let the reproofs of on instruction be your way of life. This is not a very pleasant message tonight, but it is really a good chapter. This is not some of that stuff. You know, we like to hear some stuff on that, getting some anointing on your life, getting some glory flowing in your life, getting some blessing coming your way. But when we're talking about reproof, we don't like to hear about reproof much, do we? Because reproof sounds too much like correction. And we don't need to be afraid to be corrected, do we? First of all, by the Holy Spirit or whoever else that brings correction in our lives. But this is called, let the reproofs on instruction be your way of life. The John Maxwell quote, I love it. We cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. I mean, that's kind of profound. We cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. One of the things that most people, not just Christians, but everybody, do not, especially adults, kids like change. Adults don't like change much. We don't like having to change stuff in our lives. It's uncomfortable. Sometimes, you know, the Word of God is like a mirror. And sometimes when you read the Word of God, you see things in that mirror. You see yourself like you are. And it's very uncomfortable when you see that you have had a bad attitude, okay? Where you've copped the tude, and the Word of God just shines on that, and you get real uncomfortable about it, and you feel this thing going on in your heart. We call it conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and He says, you're going to have to change that. In fact, not only are you going to have to change that, you're going to have to go do something about it, because you've opened your mouth, and you've said some things that you shouldn't have said. And you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to go and do something about it. You know, we're real big on getting forgiven by God sometimes, but we're not real big on going to the people that we've offended and making restitution. Sometimes that's part of the process that we have to go through, and we don't like that. Proverbs 6:23, this is from the New King James Version. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I was talking to someone. I can't always remember who I was talking to, and I shouldn't say it, you know, especially this. But they said, you know, everything you said in that last message, you were just slapping me all over the place. I was not. I was not. You know, sometimes the Word of God, you just feel like you're getting smacked around. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. One of the reasons that God gave us the Word, the Bible says that the Word of God is profitable for what? For reproof, for rebuke. Now, you know, when you think of reproof and rebuke, one of them seems worse than the other one, doesn't it? Reproof is kind of a little bit of correction, and reproof is when you just kind of get called out in the open. You feel like you're standing there in your birthday suit, and God's, you know, correcting you in front of everybody. That feels like a rebuke sometimes. And then there's correction, and that doesn't seem too bad. But reproof of instruction is the way of life. In other words, here's what we got to come to. Is that we've got to get used to being corrected, hopefully by the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to that. Here's the question. What was your response the last time someone pointed out an area in your life that needed to be improved or changed? How did you take that? You know what we normally do? It usually depends who it is. Kathy can say some things to me sometimes. She'll say, you know, your attitude wasn't real good about that Sunday when you said that. And I won't say, shut up. And she's not in here, so don't you tell her what I said. And sometimes I just won't say it. It just flies all over me all of a sudden. You know, that's a good sign that what she's saying is probably the truth, and it's something that I don't want to hear. And we don't really sometimes receive that from our spouses very well. In fact, usually, if something makes you mad or offends you, there may be an element of truth in what's being said to you. And how do you respond to that? I told you this is not going to be pleasant tonight. What is the first thing that we should do when this happens? Now, here's something else I want to do. You know, Jason walks up and says, you know, you need to watch this. I said, hey, how about your attitude, bud? You ain't got such a great attitude either. We do a counterattack thing. We deflect the power of it because we want to do a little our own little a counterattack, and we want to get them back. But the first thing we should do is examine ourselves. Here's one thing that God wants Christians doing all the time. He wants you to examine yourself. One of the reasons that God gave you a Bible is so that you can look in it and examine yourself. Remember the Psalm, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It says that in the book of Psalms. And that is God's, the Word is God's way to bring the correction in your life. And if you blow up, you get mad, you get sad, you squall and bawl, and you know, get on your whiny pot, or you get defensive, or you get this or that, or get offended, that's usually a good sign that somebody has struck a nerve. And so learn that if your response is not good, there's probably some truth to it, and you need to step back and you need to take an honest look at yourself. You know, a real friend will say things to you that may hurt your feelings. I mean, you know, if you're standing here and you're smiling and you got spinach on your tooth, don't you want somebody to tell you, or do you just want to stand there and look? Then a stranger comes along and says, "Hey, bud, you got spinach on your tooth." And you look at your friend and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" "I didn't want to hurt your feelings." You know, sometimes a friend will hurt your feelings. But we need to be willing to take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Did you ever have a parent get on to you? Did your mama ever get on to you when you was a kid? Sometimes mama got on to you with a switch, didn't she? Now, we don't do that much anymore because they put you in jail for that. But my grandma, she used to tell me all the time, "Boy, if you don't quit that, I'm going to get a shillelagh after you." I never did figure out what a shillelagh was. I knew it probably wasn't pleasant, and I knew it probably had to do with a switch or a big stick or something. But boy, if you don't straighten out, I'm going to get a shillelagh after you. And, you know, the Lord loves us and He corrects us. And by the way, He corrects us, it's not by making us sick or taking our kids away from us. It's the correction that comes through His Word. It's the correction that comes sometimes through other people. And you can be sitting in a service like tonight and something just hit you. It's not me hitting you. It's the Holy Spirit. And when something jumps out at you, something gets your attention, something convicts you, you need to take a look. Pay attention, because the Lord is trying to get something through your lightning fast mind. Amen. Okay. Psalms 141, verse 5. It says this: "Let the righteous strike me, it shall be kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it." In other words, sometimes a friend will say something to us that really gets to us. And we need to pay attention to it. Okay, here's something you need to know, that change is going to happen. Mark it down. Change is going to happen. Change is inevitable. I have not been 57 years old all my life. I used to be 29 and skinny. Change took place. I'm 57 and working on skinny. Okay? I mean, I used to be able to run fast. Well, not real fast, but a lot faster than I can now. I used to be more athletic than I am now. I used to be a lot more things. And, you know, I don't know how that change happened, but it just happens. Change is going to happen. All kinds of change is going to happen. In fact, for you to remain the same, things are going to have to change. Okay? So change is an inevitable, that word, thing. Forward or backwards, it's going to happen. Why, let's make it forward. Let's don't go backwards. You know, I want to be stronger than I've ever been before, spiritually. I want to grow spiritually. I don't want to be the same as I was a year ago. I want to know more. I want to do more. I want my latter days to be my greatest days. You know, I look back sometimes and I think, man, I wasted some opportunities. Does anybody else feel that way? I've wasted some years of my life about some things. And I don't want my whole life to be characterized by feeling that I have not lived up to the potential that God has given me. I don't want to waste. I want to go forward and not backwards. Let's talk about five hindrances to change. Now, y'all, put your seatbelts on. If you got your offended britches on, grab your big girl britches, because you're fixing to have to get over some stuff, because we're going to talk about some stuff here. Number one, here's five hindrances to change. Number one, and this is a big one, it's called P-R-I-D-E, pride. Everybody say pride. We all got some. And most of it stinks. You know, this is one area, and I can't speak for girls, but this is one area that guys excel in, is pride. Let me get me a drink here. Guys get eat up with pride sometimes. I don't know what there is about maleness, and especially in the American culture, but you know, you hear, I mean, some of the things that guys talk about, and you think, what does it matter? I've often wondered, and I'm a guy, okay? I understand the pride thing. I've got some pride. Mine's all good. But you know, we think bigger is better in anything. And we won't get into all of that, but bigger is better. You know, if you have a deer rifle, you have a 30-30. Will a 30-30 kill a deer? Probably more deer have been killed with 22s and 30-30s than any other caliber. Then somebody comes along and they got a 243. Gotta have me one of them. It shoots 100 feet a second faster. Then somebody gets a 30-06. Gotta have me one of them. This 243 ain't gotta have a 30-06. We do the same thing with motorboats. Gonna go fishing. Gotta have me a motorboat. Got me a little 25 horse. Ying, 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 ying. Here comes a guy down through there, and he's just getting it. He's got a 40 horse. Gotta have me one of them. Guy comes with a 40 horse. You got your little 40 horse, and here comes a guy with a 100 horse. Oh, gotta have me one. Bigger's better. You know, my dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's bigger than your. My daddy beat up your daddy. I killed a deer, and it had 400 points. Oh! And, you know, we got clubs. You know, when that measures the bigness of everything, you know? And, you know, our women have got to look a certain way. And, you know, this, you got to, our cars have got to be a certain way. And they got to be able to, mine have got to go faster than yours. If mine won't go faster than yours, mine's a piece of junk. It's called pride. Men really have pride. But when it comes to change, here's the thing where men get into trouble, because they are, and women too sometimes, but I'm picking on guys. And pride says, I don't need to change. Actually, I don't need to change. You need to change. I don't need to change. That's pride. Admitting that we have a need to do something like change is a huge issue. Weakness is something that men don't feel like they can afford to admit. Do real men cry? I mean, you know, a generation ago, that was the thing. Men don't cry. Men don't show emotion. Men don't do that. Men, real men, you know, we bad. Got big muscles. We bad. And it's all about pride. I don't need to change. I'm okay. No, we're never okay. We're never okay. You know what our goal is as believers? Is to measure up to the image of Jesus Christ. And guess what? You ain't there yet, guy. You're not there. Oh, okay. I told you this wasn't pleasant. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall. We see a lot of pride. Pride. Number two. Let's get off of this, okay? All the guys say, amen. Oh, it's time to change, Pastor. It's time to change from pride to fear. Is number two. Fear. Fear's a huge thing. Yeah, and it is absolutely huge, fear. Fear says, I'm afraid to take the risk. I'm afraid to take the risk. I might fail. Someone might say something about me. I might not measure up. I might not. You know, here we go. We're making excuses why we can't do things. It's called fear. 1 John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Wow, that's powerful. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. You know what characterizes a person that's eaten up with fear? They're tormented all the time. They're afraid. They know in their heart what they need to be doing, but they're just afraid to step out. What if I fail? You know what? If you never step out, I guarantee you, you'll fail. Your heart is full of potential. Listen to me. Your heart is full of purpose. God has put eternity in your heart. God has put potential in your heart. If you never step, and you will have to deal with fear. Every one of us deal with fear. You will deal with fear just about every day. Fear will always be there. And you're going to have to step through the door of fear sometimes in order to be what you're supposed to be. But if you never step through the door, guess what? You guarantee that you'll fail. Number three. I like this one too, because I do this sometimes. It's called rebellion. I don't want to change. I don't want to change. First of all, it says, I don't need to. Second, it says, I'm afraid to. Now, this one just says, I don't want to. I like me just like I am. I don't want to change. You can't make me. Nanner, nanner, boo, boo. You know, and rebellion is a big thing. Rebellion is a huge thing among people. It's even a huge thing among believers. Okay? What are we talking about tonight? Reproof as a lifestyle. Correction. How does perfection come? It comes through change. It comes through being conformed to His image and His will. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And God is dealing with Saul here, the King Saul. It says, "Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king." Rebellion will get you in trouble. Honest, it'll get you in trouble. Rebellion will probably get you into more trouble than any other thing that I know. You know, and here's what Saul was trying to do. The Lord told him to do a particular thing. He did part of it. And then he goes and he's going to make some sacrifices to the Lord. And God says, "What do you think I want? Do I want your sacrifices? Do I want your excuses? Do I want your substitution? Well, Lord, I won't give you this, but I'll give you this." God wants what He wants. You know, let me tell you something. The number one thing that God wants is your heart. He wants your life. He wants who you are. He wants your spirit, your soul, and your body. Well, I can't give Him that, but I'll give Him a little money. He don't want your stinking money. Ooh, did I say that? I want your money. No. No, He wants what He asks for. Now, He's going to ask for your money, okay? But He wants what He asks for, not what you want to give Him. And this is a big thing with American Christians. Well, I can't do that, but I'll do this. Well, what did He ask for? If He asks for something, that's what He wants. And when He says, you know, when you refuse to do that, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. You might as well be worshiping an idol. Rebellion is a serious thing. Number four. Y'all like this? Does anybody like this? I don't. Laziness. Ooh. Anybody get smacked? No, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. We're having fun, but this is serious stuff. Pride, I don't need to change. Fear, I'm afraid to. Rebellion, I don't want to. Laziness, I don't feel like it. You going to church tonight? Oh, I don't feel like it. Are you going to go do that thing that y'all supposed to? You're going to do that servolution? Oh, if I feel like it. Going to read your Bible today? Well, Lord, if I feel like it. I don't know. We'll have to see. It's called lazy. Lazy attitude. Y'all quit shouting. This must be a biggie. This must be a biggie. Do we need to do the altar call right now? I mean, repent for our laziness. Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Like an armed man. Laziness. God doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be diligent and industrious. You know what you're doing? You're giving God something to bless. These things will keep you from changing, which will keep you from growing. Let me say something about growing as a Christian. You have to do it on purpose. It don't just happen because you hang around the church. It don't just happen because you show up every now and then. You know, you're not doing God a favor by just showing up at church. You're doing you a favor. You're doing you a favor. You're not doing God a favor. God did you a favor when Jesus hung on the cross, paid for your sins. God did you a favor. We owe him a whole lot more. Now, he doesn't want us in debt. That's not the whole idea. He gives it to us free. And, you know, when we get cavalier and, oh yeah, well, you know, we'll see. That's not what he's after. He's after something deep. He's after something real. He says, well, man, do I get to have any fun? Let me tell you something. When you get hooked up with God, and I mean really hooked up in the right way, and you're growing and you're going, oh, dude, kingdom of God is awesome. Seeing people come to Christ is awesome. Seeing God change your life is awesome. Seeing these kids come into children's church and learning the things of God and getting excited and laying hands on each other and kids getting healed. Whoo, Jesus. It's awesome. It's a blast being a Christian. We've just portrayed it like a bunch of old pickle pusses. And, you know, God wants to do something. You know, God wants us to be joyous. He wants us to get together. You know, when we have church, He wants it to be a celebration. He wants His presence to show up. When we're out here in the foyer and we're fellowshipping one another, dog, it ought to be a party out there. Say, can you laugh in church? If you come to this one, you can laugh. If you go away from this church and don't laugh and don't cry and are not convicted and feel better, then I don't know that we haven't done the right thing. Do you laugh in your house? Do you cry in your house? Do you rest in your house? I mean, this, when we come together, this is God's house. This habitation, not this building, this habitation of believers. And all of those things should be going on. And every time somebody gets saved, there ought to be a celebration. You know what I love about baptisms? Y'all like them. The other day when we baptized these girls, standing ovations and whistling and hooting and hollering, religious people say, bless God, they whistled in church. They whistled in church. Well, hoop-de-doo. You know, let her rip. The old boy said, let her rip, Tater Chip. Let's go. We ought to celebrate. People are going to heaven. We ought to be excited about that. Laziness. I don't feel like it. Number five. This is a big one. Ignorance. Ignorance. I'm amazed at the ignorance there is in America about the things of God. And we got, how many Christian channels do we have on TV? We got VTN, we got TBN, we got Daystar, we got Sky Angel, we got them other ones that I don't know what they're called. And you can, we, the Catholics even have a channel, and, you know, then you see, you know, you can network TV, you can watch Joyce Meyer just about 24 hours a day. She's on somewhere 24 hours. That's the preachingest woman I've ever seen. And still, we just have people dumb ignorant when it comes to the things of God. Ignorance. They don't pay attention. And here's what ignorance says. You know what? I've never thought about changing. I've never thought about it. I never knew that I needed to. Hosea 4:6 says this. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I will forget your children. Ignorance will kill you. Oh, I tell that. When I was a kid, I was a teenager. I broke the law one time. And anybody know who Mordecai Marlin is? The old game warden Mordecai Marlin? We used to go down the river, and we would... snag skipjack. It's against the law to snag skipjack off of locking down number one. But we'd get a treble hook, and we'd snag them suckers. And you know, we'd yank them up and throw them up on the lock. And we'd see the game warden come, you snip it, and, you know, you lose your treble hook. Well, one day we got the big idea. They were running along the the bank, the edge of the lock down there, and we had a dip net. So we got down there and you can get a bunch of skipjack in a dip net. We was dip netting in things and throwing them back up over our shoulder. We had 28 skipjack just flopping around up on the lock there. And I was down there doing that, and I look over my shoulder, and here comes this big old shadow. This big lurking shadow. Boom. And I turn around and look, and it was Mordecai Marlin, the game warden. What are you boys doing? Well, we were just, you know, we were... Don't you boys know that that's against the law? No, sir, we didn't know that. We did. We lied. No, sir, we didn't know that. You know what he said? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And he wrote us tickets. And we got tickets for dip net and skipjack. Ignorance will kill you graveyard dead. Ignorance of the law, ignorance of the things of God is no excuse. We need to be open to some change in our lives. We got to quit. Do we have to? I want to make a statement as we close. And this is big. All of it's big tonight. Sometimes we think if we learn that that's changing. I just need to get more knowledge is what I need. Well, we do need more knowledge. We don't need to be ignorant. But learning is not changing. Learning is not changing. Now you have to learn to change, but learning and doing is where the change starts coming in. Bottom line, I know guys, and I can name some names of people who know Scripture. They can quote Scripture. They can quote more Scripture than most Christians I know, probably including me. They can quote more Scripture. They can tell you all about the prosperity message, and they can tell you all about this, and they don't live any of it. You know what good it does? Absolutely zero. It's not what you know that makes you grow. It's what you do with what you know that makes you grow. It's not, change doesn't come from just learning. It begins with that, but it comes with contemplation on what you're learning. Putting it into practice in your life so that you can continue to grow. Let me tell you how to get to the deep stuff. I hear people say sometimes, Pastor, we need some deep stuff. Yeah, we do. And what they're saying is, Pastor, we want you to cut bigger bites of steak and feed us bigger bites of steak. No, no, no. You get the deep stuff when you start doing the stuff that you hear. When you start becoming a doer, you learn what it means to be deep as a Christian. When you begin to practice it, you learn a whole lot more than when you learn it. You'll learn three times as much by practicing it and doing it as you will by learning it. I've said this before, and I've been around most Bible teachers, most famous Bible teachers. I've been in their services. I mean, I sat and have been in Kenneth Hagin's services. I mean, one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard in my life. This, oh my gosh. And I've been in their services. And I've seen people follow them around. They would go from city to city to city to city to go to their seminars. It didn't do them diddly squat good because they didn't do anything that they learned. All they got was fat. If all you do is eat, you get fat. You got to put it to work. He puts it in you so that you can do it. Remember, it says that it's not the hearer that's blessed, it's the doer. And when you begin to do it, it becomes flesh to you. It becomes life. It becomes the thing that propels your life. And you will be amazed at what God does in you. You'll be amazed at how you grow. But it's the simple stuff that's the deep stuff. One of the deepest scriptures I know is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That thing is so full of revelation. Well, we don't need to hear about that. Yeah, we need to think about that one a while. There's some huge stuff there. We could do a growth track just on that scripture right there alone. I mean, that scripture says everything from Genesis to maps. I mean, it just says the whole thing. Okay, let's quit right there. Do we need to pray for any toes tonight besides mine? Let me encourage you. If something got you tonight, go home, lay down in your bed tonight, and before you go to sleep, let the Holy Spirit talk to you about it. It may be the very thing that starts turning some things around in your life. Have you ever wondered why the same things keep recurring over and over and over in your life? Why you keep going around the same mountain? It's because you're missing something. There's something that you know that you're not doing, and you need to go back and catch that and start doing it so that you can grow beyond that. Does that make sense? Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for these people. Thank You that they're Your people, that You love us. Holy Spirit, thank You that You've been real here tonight through the worship and through the Word. And Lord, I know that You've spoken into some people's lives tonight. And Lord, You're going to continue to do a work as we leave here tonight. And Lord God, I want You to work in my heart tonight. I want You to do something in me that will cause me to be what I need to be. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. See you Sunday morning, either at 9 or 10:45. Bring somebody with you.